That last song was awesome, huh? Alright, so I got scripture reading today from John 7, 37 through 44. And on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him.
ヨハネの福音書7章37節から44節を日本語でお読みします。さて祭りの終わりの大いなる日にイエスは立って大声で言われた。誰でも渇いているなら私のもとに来て飲みなさい。私を信じる者は聖書が言っている通りにその人の心の奥底から生ける水の川が流れ出るようになる。これはイエスを信じる者が後になってから受ける御霊のことを言われたのである。イエスはまだ栄光を受けておられなかったので御霊はまだ注がれていなかったからである。この言葉を聞いて群衆のうちのある者は、あの方は確かにあの預言者なのだと言い、またある者はこの方はキリストだと言った。またある者は言った、まさかキリストはガリラヤからは出ないだろう。キリストはダビデの子孫から、またダビデがいたベツレヘムの村から出ると聖書が言っているではないか。そこで群衆の間にイエスのことで分裂が起こった。その中にはイエスを捕らえたいと思った者もいたが、イエスに手をかけた者はなかった。
A very pivotal point, I believe, in the story where Jesus introduces explicitly the Holy Spirit. Today, there are some of you who may know the Holy Spirit.Some of you who may not know of the Holy Spirit. Some of you who have heard about the Holy Spirit. But without a show of hands, I do want to ask before I begin, how many of you have felt and could describe your experience with the Holy Spirit the way it's described here as Jesus describes it?And he describes it this way. He says, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Think about that for a moment. Has your experience with the Holy Spirit felt that way before? Some of you may have felt that, and that's great. Some of you may feel like, well, that's not...really how I would describe it. I don't know if I would say it's like rivers of living water. Now, personally, I don't know exactly in all what Jesus means when he uses that description. I'm not suggesting it looks one way or another. However, for you personally,I would like to say if it doesn't describe this, if it doesn't match that description, then I do want to encourage you and say there probably is more than. There's more to it than this. There's more to it than just, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, theoretically.Because the way Jesus describes it is very fascinating, wouldn't you say? I think so. And the way he describes it in our experience, if they're not matching up, I do suggest
that instead of lowering our expectation of what he has said, that we would higher it, or at least give it its just due, and say, Lord, I'm being honest, I don't know if I would describe it as rivers. I guess we're in Tucson, so we don't see a lot of rivers here, but if you've ever seen rivers, like real rivers, I don't know if I would describe it in that manner. That is to suggest, perhaps, we are living below what God has to offer for those of us who has received the Holy Spirit. For those of us who haven't, that is a promise Jesus gives. A wonderful promise. Let's look at the passage today in John 7. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, I'm not going to do it in a loud voice, but let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. I wonder what Jesus sounded like when he said it in a loud voice. But he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. We're not going to go through the festivals, the feast days of the Lord, but this was the last feast of the calendar year. The last one. Not only was it the last one, it was a festival where everyone was required to attend to in Jerusalem. This was you had to go to Jerusalem kind of thing, festival. You couldn't just celebrate it in your own home. And this last festival, on the last day, and just to give you a brief context of what Jesus might have been feeling, this was a time when people were literally beginning to conspire and try to kill Jesus. And prior to that, a lot of his disciples left him. Thousands of disciples left him. Now, prior to thousands leaving, it would have been hard to conspire to kill him. But when he was, I guess, low on the popularity scale, and people trying to kill him, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus to go and say this at one of the biggest events of the year. And he gives an invitation. He gives an invitation to anyone. Anyone. But there are prerequisites to accepting this invitation. Anyone could accept it, but the prerequisite is this. You have to come to him. And you have to be thirsty. You have to come to him thirsty. Let me ask you a question. Are you thirsty today for God? Some of you, I believe, are very thirsty for God. Some of us, we may have filled our thirst tanks with a lot of other stuff, and so we may not very necessarily be thirsty for God. The question is, are you thirsty? Now, the human heart, the Bible says, is sick and is inclined to evil. But Jesus here says, if you would drink from me, then from that sick, inclined to evil heart will actually rivers of living waters will begin to flow. Isn't that amazing? It's a good place to say amen. Maybe you don't agree. I don't know. I got a quiet amen. I heard that. Thank you. Appreciate everything I could get. Our thirst can be quenched temporarily by the things of this world. It can. Some of us right now, we're thirsty for things of this world. When is this going to end so I could do what I really want to do? And that's fine, because I am not God. But when you come to God, is that your heart's condition? Honestly, for me, sometimes yes. You know, I was reading this passage and getting ready for this passage, and I was thinking to myself, hey, you know, honestly, my experience with God, I have felt and tasted this to a certain degree, but I cannot say right now there is rivers of flowing water just gushing out of me. I can't say that, honestly. I really can't. I wish I could. There have been times where I have felt that before in my life. But so I said, you know what? I am going to speak on this passage, so let me just try to get that kind of thing. So I went to God and prayed, and I was honest with Him. Honestly, after 5 minutes, I kind of felt like, oh, it didn't work. Maybe I should just quit, you know? 5 minutes, it didn't work. Maybe I should just quit. That's kind of funny, actually. Because how many of you if you ever wanted something, only spent 5 minutes. I didn't say 5 hours, no, 5 minutes. Ever spent like 5 minutes and say, okay, never mind, I don't want it. Yeah. Now, this is God who is saying, I will give you my spirit. And when I give you my spirit, it's going to feel like rivers of flowing water, living water. He says, that's how good my spirit is. Now, let's just take a step back. And let's say this is your spirit. Okay, your spirit. What if someone who knew your spirit was so good, they wanted to, you know, they wanted to have that relationship with you, and they wanted you to share your spirit with them because your spirit is so good. And they strike up a conversation with you. And after 5 minutes, you know, the person's realizing, oh, this person's not sharing their spirit with me. What would you do if that person, even though you wanted to share that your spirit with that person, if that person, after 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, decided to say, well, it's not worth it. Let me just go talk to the other person who will give me their spirit very quickly. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. I try to make sense. Well, say I liked you. This is my wife. She's in San Francisco right now, so I guess I could use that analogy. Say I liked you. I'm married, though. Say I liked you. Say I was single. Say this is 20 years back. I was single and I liked you, and I said, I want to try to have a relationship with this person because I like this person. But after 5 minutes, I said, you know what? Maybe I'll just go to the next person. Well, I think that's what it kind of looks like. When Jesus says, my spirit's this good, come to me and drink. And drink it in. And we go to Him, and many of us, we have gone to Him because we know that the everything else, what the world has to offer, is not necessarily that good. Disappointed us, etc., etc., etc. And so we go to God, who is offering this, and after 5 minutes say, oh, okay, maybe I'll go somewhere else. My thirst has not been quenched. Watch some of that Wildcat football who disappointed us again yesterday. Go to that basketball. Play. You know, honestly, my thing is basketball. Go to the basketball court. I actually like playing more than watching. Going to the basketball court. But then being disappointed again there. Verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Notice this will flow up within. From within. This is an inside fix. An inside touch and satisfaction that outward circumstances or outward things cannot touch, cannot fix, cannot heal. Stuff and things cannot fill this void, an inside void. It will flow from within them. The things around us, they are temporary. And because they are temporary, they may temporarily satisfy. They will satisfy, but it's only temporary. Here Jesus saying, this will not just satisfy temporarily, but if you come to me, it will not just fulfill, spring up, but it will begin to flow. Overflow. Out of you. Now again, Jesus here is talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you are Christian, you must believe that you do have the Spirit, right? Yes? If you're Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But again, does this sound like you and me? Is this what we're experiencing on a daily basis? Well, let me ask you, the person next to you, if he is Christian or she is Christian, is that what you experience from that person? Because it is not just a personal experience now. It says it will flow up from within, but then it will flow out. So actually, it's not just you that is affected by it, but people around you begin to be affected by it as well. Great news, amen?
Amen?
But is that what you feel from the person next to you who is Christian? Don't worry, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about someone else. Is that even what you experienced from your pastor? Sometimes, no, no. It's okay, you can be honest. I know. You don't have to lie. I know. That is far less than what you probably experienced from me. Far less. I'm not Jesus, so it's not going to be the fullness of it, but it's definitely far less. But this is actually what Jesus is promising. He is inviting us into this experience. It is a promise from God. It is a promise from Jesus. Who or what else has ever promised such a thing? That's credible. This is Jesus promising you this. That means you could actually trust that this is true.
Amen.
But oftentimes, we're just satisfied, maybe, with the hope of heaven. And that's great. I love the hope of heaven. We're satisfied with escaping the wrath of God. That's great. And perhaps this truth and reality will only be 100% fulfilled when we get to heaven, maybe, I don't know. You know, Jesus doesn't say one way or the other. He doesn't. So maybe when he says, you will receive at a later time, that later time is heaven. I don't think that's what he's saying, though, personally. I think this is a promise you and I have access to and are invited to. Good news? Kind of. Yeah? Great news. I think it's awesome news.
Yes.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful promise, an invitation Jesus gives.
Yes.
I remember the first birthday party, I actually got like an invitation in the mail. I think it was the first one. And I was excited. Because it was for a very pretty girl. She didn't like me though. But you know, I opened the card, and out came all this like confetti of like hearts and stuff, the cute stuff. She was, you know, that's the type of person she was. It was very cute. And I was excited, you know, to go to this party. Jesus is actually excited, inviting us to a greater party than that. Where you will not get disappointed. You will not. However, I do have to be honest and say, as Christians, this is just my own life. If you share it, that's great. If not, that's even greater. But in my own life, I have to be honest and say, wait, this ain't me right now. I felt it before, but it's not necessarily me all the time. And that is a problem, actually. And I think it's a fixable problem. It's not a problem that cannot be fixed, but it is a problem that oftentimes goes ignored and left unattended to. And sometimes here and there we may experience it and say, wow, that was great, and then it'll leave us, and we memorialize and monument those experiences that we have in the past. But let me tell you, that can be you now, here. I heard some good news the other day. My brother Mike, who did the scripture reading, he is Christian despite what he looks like. Sorry. Mike is a great friend. I could say that comfortably because he's my friend. But, you know, last week, he shared with me, he was praying for someone after service. And he said when he was praying, he felt something actually well up from his stomach. Interesting, that's where Jesus says this is going to well up. But he said he felt like it was welling up out of his stomach, and as he's praying, he felt it shoot out through his hands. This is Mike. So if you don't believe me, you got to take it up with him and say, I don't believe you. Get into his face, I don't believe you. But he said that happened. And interesting, my wife was there as she was also praying for the person. And she said, and she didn't know this happened to Mike, but she said, while Mike was praying, she started to stumble back and almost fell. Now, again, I'm not saying that this has to look like what you have seen on television or etc., or it has to look like what happened with Mike. But you know that throughout the Bible that we have, that it is a credible witness of what the Spirit looks like. You know, if anything is credible of what that Holy Spirit actually looks like, feels like, it's the Bible, right? It shouldn't come from the television set. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it shouldn't come from there. What happens there, I don't know. I can't vet it. I can't investigate it, but I mean, that's not what I feel called to do. But certainly, the Bible is a credible witness. Have you read this thing? Have you actually took time to sit and say, wow, did that really happen? Are they just, you know, allegorizing things and making things up to give us a point? Well, some of them maybe, but I don't think so. I think some of the things that they record happening happened the way they recorded it, because this is a credible witness. Have you seen how these people that were filled with the Spirit, what they did? What they were able to accomplish? It's pretty amazing stuff. I won't go through the list of some of the things they did or did. But it's pretty amazing. Absolutely fascinating. And Jesus says, that spirit that these men and women were able to do with my spirit is actually going to go into each and every one of you. To anyone. That's part of the good news. Anyone. You don't have to be born on a special day from a special person in a special way in the special town and had to have been prophesied by someone special that you were going to be born. He said anyone. You. Sitting there, right now, Jesus is saying, if you drink from me, this will happen to you. Rivers, living water, spring up from you and flow out of you. And let me tell you, that is something that you and I can experience now. Verse 40 says, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? So as I'm promising you this here, that this is what Jesus promised. When Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, the crowd that were listening felt something. It shook them to their core. In some way. So when Jesus spoke these words, it shook the crowd to the point where they started saying, this is the Messiah. Or this is the prophet. His words weren't just trite. It didn't fall on deaf ears. People realized his words for some reason. Power in those words. They were powerful enough to get the attention of the crowd. But God almost always, almost always, in that invitation and in knowing that this is more than just a mere man saying these things, and this is possibly true, he always and almost always leaves room for us to respond. How are you going to respond now? How are you going to respond? He leaves room for that invitation, to respond to that invitation. And here's how they responded back then. In 42 it says, does not Scripture say the Messiah will come from David's descendant and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. Here again, see? It's pretty crazy. People felt that power. People felt the weightiness of his words. And people were saying one thing, and other people were saying other things. And there's this period where the invitation's given and now it's time for the people to respond. How are they going to respond? And as people are in that limbo stage of should I, shouldn't I, what should I make of this, some of the most knowledgeable people, air quotes, begin to outthink themselves. Can I just say this? Never, 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 never become to the point where you think you can't learn anything. Don't ever come to that point. Even with this Christian stuff. Never come to the point where you think you know it all. Even me, as a professional Christian, I guess, I have to be careful. Just because someone says something that I don't agree with, I am in no position to say that's wrong completely, unless it does contradict the Bible. However, if it doesn't, I am in no position to say that's wrong. That's not how I was taught. Oftentimes, that's the reason why we think it's wrong. It's because that was not the way I was taught. Well, we, most of us, are all grown and mature enough to be able to have the responsibility to say, even though that's not what I was taught, let me go and check what the scripture says. And you know, a lot of times when we get to become a professional Christian and know it all, it's easy to fall into what the Bible calls pride. Knowing it all is pride. I just want to point that out, just in case you didn't know. And pride goes before a fall. It surely does. Anyways, that was a rabbit trail. I don't know why I went there. Oh, because the Pharisees, or the leaders, the knowledgeable ones, they said, "What? Wait. Isn't the Messiah from Galilee, or Bethlehem, from the line of David?" These were some knowledgeable people dropping these things. And if they just did a little bit of research, they would have realized Jesus was from actually Bethlehem, the line of David. They knew what the book said, but they did not know the author of the book. And the author of the book was standing right there. And he would have probably signed an autograph if they brought their books to him. He was right there, speaking the very words of God, God himself. And the people that thought they knew God the most were there saying, wait, this isn't right. How tragic that is, because the people missed their visitation because of that. They couldn't recognize God's voice because of faulty understanding of scripture and Jesus' bio. You know, if they just did a little bit of fact checking, they would have thought, oh, everything lines up in the list of what a Messiah has to do. So here's an important thing we should not miss. It's great that we read the Bible. And I hope you do read the Bible. And I hope you study the Bible. I do. I love studying it. I love reading it. I do enjoy it. Listening to it. Studying it. Learning about it. Takes up a lot of my time in my life, and it's something I enjoy doing. But aside from all of that, it's important to learn to recognize His voice. To recognize Jesus' voice. He is the Word of God. To recognize His voice. To recognize the Holy Spirit's moving. Because if the crowd recognized it, oh my gosh, what would have happened after Jesus gave that invitation? And they actually went to Jesus and say, "Jesus, would you pray for me for this rivers of flowing water, living water?" What would have happened? Wow. You know, because when Jesus touched and prayed for people, like, crazy things happened, right? Blind eyes open, demons expelled, cast out, leprosy healed, the dead raised from the grave. Learn to recognize his voice. When I was preparing, as I was preparing, I was just casually just saying, Holy Spirit, I'm so glad I get to mention, talk about you today, and kind of thing, and just casually in my head. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, don't forget to talk about Jesus and God the Father. Like, it just popped into my head, and I was like, wow. But that's who the Holy Spirit is. He loves to glorify Jesus and the Father. He is the faceless one. If you ever have a dream about God, they say this. If you ever have a dream about God and you never actually see the face, God's face, they say that's actually the Holy Spirit. Because usually when people dream about God and they see Jesus, they actually see Jesus. But anyways, that's a total tangent. Anyways, I'm just going to land this message here. But this is what Jesus promises in this chapter, in this section of the gospel. He promises the Holy Spirit. He says, anyone, you and I, doesn't matter what your background is, where you're from, what your current condition is now, how old you are, how young you are, how sinful you are, how holy you are. This is an invitation to all of us. He says, if you would come to me and drink from me, this will happen. Springs of living water will flow from your inmost being and will flow out of you. Amen. If that is not your experience, the message is this. If that is not your experience, come to God and ask for Him. Ask Jesus, Lord, this is what your scripture says. Either I have it and I don't realize it, would you show me what it is? Or I actually don't have this experience, would you give it to me? That is something you and I, for really desiring more of God, we can do. If it doesn't work, repeat. Repeat. Don't lower it. Don't lower your standard. Repeat it. Repeat that process. Seek God. Seek His face. Ask Him. 5 minutes pass. Guess what? If you have spent more than 5 minutes on something lesser, that's where your heart is right now. Some of us, we spend hours and hours on lesser things to attain something that means absolutely nothing. I play some games as well, honestly. Sports, etc. Maybe that's not your thing. But hours and hours, and I'm just talking about one sitting. I'm not talking about my lifetime. If I was doing my lifetime, years and years of attaining something that is far less valuable. And compared to what it is, worthless. Imagine that, spending a lifetime on something that's worthless. Let us come before the Lord. Lord, would you show us those things that are worthless, Lord? That swallow up years of our lives. Years of our lives. Holy Spirit, would you reveal those worthless things that hijack our lives that even pulls us into addictive behavior. Holy Spirit, would you give us a taste of the reality of the rivers of living water, how good your Spirit is. I pray for all of us here who has not tasted or seen or experienced that, would taste and see, oh, how good you really are. Let's just continue to just sit with our eyes closed, hearts open, and just ask the Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Firsthand, I know, and some of you know, how foul and defiling an evil spirit feels. Maybe you felt its presence. But as foul and defiling as an evil spirit can be, the Holy Spirit is just opposite, refreshing, cleansing, filling. Holy Spirit, would you begin to fill each and every one of us? Would you unblock whatever may be blocking that spring of living water? May living water begin to flow out from us, flow in us and out of us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this invitation. And I pray, Father, that we would not take this invitation lightly, Lord, but that we would make it our life's pursuit to know you in this way, to experience you here and now in this way. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. After service, if anyone wants prayer, would like prayer, I'll be up here for a little bit. And I will.